I've done it. This show is part of the Kobold Broadcast Network.
Bloody kobolds. This show is part of the Goblin Broadcast Network at gbncom.com.
Welcome to the Gamers Haven Podcast, a gaming podcast for game masters of all gaming systems. So grab your dice bags and we'll get your game on.
Hello out there in internet land. Welcome back to the Gamers Haven Podcast. And we're an unqualified success. Well, at least us, we are.
Yeah.
Four podcasts.
So far, how many people have listened?
I know the subscribers right now are me, my sister, and someone else.
Oh,
on a regular basis.
I have not filled out the forum information yet, have I?
No, haven't done that. He did.
No, I need
to. And soon I will have a description up.
Yes.
I'm not just the other guy.
Yeah.
I will remain the other guy until I have time to deal with it when school's not being such a bastard.
Yeah, school.
So 5 years from now, I should have a description up for you guys.
Excellent. Between that, we might just like randomly put something up, just you know.
Put a picture up of a cat, you know,
with
eating
machine
a mouse
gun.
Or something. Yeah, a cat with a machine gun will work.
There was a cat with a machine gun up. It's already up on the episode archive page.
That's true. But it's not on his actual description.
No, it's true. No pictures up on our descriptions yet.
Yeah.
You know, we should put pictures up of something, I guess.
You really don't want to show them a picture of me. We don't want people running and screaming and, you know, doing terrible things
sure.
like burning their computers and stuff.
You do look like the Hag Queen.
Yeah, but they got rid of the Hag Queen. They got rid of the Hag Queen,
yeah,
apparently.
They did.
So they finally listened to the fans.
Who got rid of the Hag Queen?
Wizards of the Coast in the newest Fiendish Codex,
uh-huh.
Which is about the Nine Hells.
Uh-huh.
When they previously detailed it in the Book of Vile Darkness, one of the archdevils was this really stupid hag queen, who was just well stupid, and in the new books they got rid of her. So.
And you know what's horrible about her is one of the lines that talks about her being the lover of the former archfiend who was in charge. Oh God.
Yeah.
That the thing, no.
It is hell, so I guess I gotta say beggars can't be choosers. Maybe I don't know.
You can't. There's
even in hell, you can be a chooser.
That or she was. I really can't even justify it. No,
there's no way to justify. Yeah, don't even try.
So whenever I put the Nine Hells in my game, I got rid of her because she was stupid.
Let's see if I can find her.
No, I don't think I really want to.
I don't
see
think I have
a
picture of her on there because it's the Hag Queen and she is stupid.
Oh. She would not frighten people as much as a picture of me, actually.
She would be okay as, like, an actual hag queen in
charge
of the hags.
But not in charge of a lair of hell.
No.
That just doesn't work.
So, question. Where did you put...
Yeah, in case you didn't know, Jeremy just got a new notebook, so he's all playing around with it right now.
It's cool.
Yeah, especially the laser attachments. How much did you have to pay Dell for that?
They were free. I built them myself. Had a tin can.
That's cool.
Built that out of tin can?
Yes, a tin can.
And they work.
Hey, you know, he MacGyvered it, I guess.
I don't see any rubber bands or any scotch tape, though.
Or
a tube sock.
Duct tape, though.
Well, that's true.
Duct tape is, you know, it holds everything together. Duct tape is awesome.
Now, even that bear guy takes a roll of tape with him and a roll of string everywhere he goes.
Cool. Yeah, it's duct
tape. Well, I decided that the magical lab that we have
mm-hmm.
needed to be, you know, high-tech, so I'm going to put the laptop in it.
Well, that'll make it real high-tech. Just make sure that, like, you know, the unicorn or something doesn't chew on it.
We don't have a unicorn.
Why not? We had one.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, we did.
That was just a horse.
With a horn on its head.
Yeah, I glued it there.
You bastard.
Oh. The horse tasted good.
You ate the horse!
Well, I didn't, but the mosquito kind of drained it dry, so I figured not let the meat go it away, so I ate it.
You know, it wasn't a real horse.
Yeah, it tasted good. It was real in my belly.
I think it was mostly peanut butter and chocolate.
Happy New Year!
Just so those out in internet land know, one of us had a job issue, but it was taken care of.
It has been handled with the help of the time machine. With the help of nothing. Yeah, it was perseverance and
due diligence.
I already know you rebuilt the time machine.
How do you know that?
Because it's in the corner. And
that's a refrigerator, dude. That's not a time machine.
Honestly, yeah. The reason why he knows we rebuilt it is because he's been using it when he didn't think we were looking.
Only once.
Have you been throwing the garbage in the time machine
five.
Again?
Five.
You've been throwing your garbage in there again, haven't you?
No, I needed a dinosaur bone from a dinosaur that was freshly killed.
And I get flack for going back in time just to buy comic books.
I did step on a leaf.
I am Paul Blücher.
Calling Monster Island. Calling Monster Island. Come in, meet you.
This is the Monster Island Gaming Helpline. What can I do for you?
Dude, my game sucks. My campaigns don't go anywhere. My set pieces are lame. My characters forgettable. And my players are in open rebellion. It's like Godzilla just stomped all over my gaming table. Nothing but ruins.
Well, I have just the cure for that. The Godzilla Gaming Podcast.
Whoa, the what?
The Godzilla Gaming Podcast. Each month, these two blokes in Tokyo, Mike and Cam, talk about games and gaming. Analyzing what works at the game table, and what doesn't, and why.
Oh, yeah, I heard about them. They have all sorts of interesting discussions about GMing techniques.
That's right. They also do in-depth reviews of role-playing games, both old and new.
Aw, oh, cool, dude. Do they do anime reviews?
Hell no.
All right, I'll check it out. What do we do about the mess?
Leave that to the Self-Defense Force.
The Godzilla Gaming Podcast. 100 meters tall, 60,000 tons, all gaming, all the time.
仕事 探せば...
What you smell? Booby racks.
Today we're diving into. We're going to talk about a genre we didn't talk about in the big genres podcast, but we came up with because we forgot and we're stupid. But I'm stupid. We're going to talk about westerns today. You know, good old westerns, and here we are in Kansas. Part of the American frontier west. You know, cue in the spaghetti western Ennio Morricone music right now. Yeah, we're going to talk about westerns, and about the only western game I have a whole lot of experience running is Deadlands, and it's more of a western horror game, but you do have to get that western feel.
That being said, we do know of a couple other ones, though.
Yeah, there's obviously Deadlands is a big one. Deadlands Reloaded just hit store shelves. If you're going for more just a classical western...
Apparently there's Sidewinder Recoil.
Sidewinder Recoiled, which can't remember the name of the company that wrote it, but the company that publishes it is Green Ronin, our old friends we love.
Love you, Green Ronin!
All hail, Green Ronin! Hail!
And the only other one I know of was the old TSR game Boot Hill, which isn't around anymore, obviously. But those are the ones that Wizards of the Coast did put out their D20 Past book, which I think dealt a little bit with westerns, but it
seemed
honestly
lame.
Wasn't very good.
Yeah, it was also overpriced, I thought. Some of them are okay. I mean, really, when you look at the artwork, and the artwork's well done. And
They're not as bad as Mongoose.
But the past one, I gotta admit,
Mongoose has artwork that I
can
draw better than.
No, I'm just talking about their books in general, really. Mongoose puts, 100 books out a week, and, one book is good. And the other 99 are crap.
It's the shotgun effect. Hey, we hit one.
Hey, we hit the target. Yeah. I'm sure there's plenty of other open game license Western stuff out there. Heck, probably Mongoose has something out. But Westerns, you know, what's the appeal with Westerns? I mean, there's plenty of good Western movies out there.
Gunslinging.
Robbing banks. Robbing trains.
Being the anti-hero.
And being the personal embodiment of good versus evil, even though you're, you know, not necessarily the greatest person
yourself. What do you prefer? I mean, there's different types of Westerns you're looking at. You want the
good, the bad, the ugly.
The white hat, the black hat, you know. Or you want more the shades of gray, you know, like High Noon and, you know, Man with No Name and stuff like that.
Good, the bad, and the ugly.
If you're going for
a very realistic sort of setting for Western, then I would say check out Unforgiven.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
That movie really puts you in the place of going.
For playing, I like the gray a little bit more, though my characters are still good. I mean, they will do what is the decent thing most times. They're not out to hurt innocent people, and they're not out to just murder people.
Right.
They're out to defend themselves, make, you know, some money, make their own life a little bit better, maybe mm-hmm. make the world a little bit better.
I think the big thing with doing a Western game or a Western campaign is, depending on the type of a campaign you're going to run, you can have the characters realistically run into some personalities from the Old West. You know, Doc Holliday, Wyatt Earp, Morgan Earp, Butch Cassidy, Sundance Kid, any of those people. And again, that sort of takes into effect of, do you want to actually adhere to history or do you just want to do your own thing?
Bill Hickok.
That's why I like Deadlands, because while it does adhere to a history that we somewhat know, it goes off
timeline of
that. Yeah.
Right, right.
You really don't want to run into Wild Bill Hickok in that one.
No, because he's dead.
And I don't even...
And walking around. But,
and that's going into Harrods and stuff, but I don't even need that, really. I mean, I just like the normal...
Just a normal Western, yeah.
Just
the first Deadlines campaign I ran, the most memorable part of that was just a simple bank robbery you guys did.
It was a good bank robbery.
It was
too.
A fun bank robbery, yes.
With the army after us, with everybody.
Yep. But...
That's what happens when you rob a bank near a fort.
We didn't know the fort was there. What? Nobody checked on that fact. We were more worried about robbing the bank without shooting a lot of people. I believe, did we have a Gatling gun in that one?
I think so, yeah.
Because we had a train.
We had a train.
I believe we had a... Yeah.
I don't remember, honestly. It was so, I blocked most of that campaign from my mind because it was so awful.
It
imploded, and it was mainly the fault of several players. I was perfect, of course.
Well, you were mostly...
Yeah, I never even showed up for that one.
Yeah.
You weren't missing much.
No.
I made a character for it. I remember making a character for it because it was my first introduction to the card-based system. But
yeah.
I never actually went to the game because of work.
There's a lot of things you can do as far as a Western is, though. I mean, you can go for the serious Western, the man with no name who's coming out. I think the key thing to focus on in a Western, though, is a lot of Westerns that people classically think of are basically solo adventures, you know, where you have one main character and then you don't really have a team of people. You'd want to think more like The Wild Bunch or Tombstone or
Silverado.
Silverado, you know, where you have an ensemble that works well. When you're doing a Western, I find probably one of the best things you can do is have try to have a nemesis for each character. That's the best way to go for it. That way everyone has someone that they can have a showdown with. Because you play a Western, you want to have the showdown in the middle of the street. I mean, you want to do the quick draw, and it's a Western.
And you want to see the tumbleweed roll between the two people before they fire.
Exactly.
Another good Western, but it's more along the solo line, like you said, was Quigley Down Under. Not your standard typical type of Western.
That was a great movie.
It was a great movie. I just watched it the other day. But yes, you have wealthy landowners, can be great villains. They could be good protagonists, too.
Oil robber barons.
Robber barons.
trained.
In fact, you can have bounty hunters, outlaws.
Or you could be bounty hunters.
You could be bounty hunters. Look at The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr., a great Western television show. He was hired by robber barons to go after the Joan Bly gang. And that evolved into a lot of other things, but it's definitely a good starting point. If you're going to run a Western, first thing you want to do is determine if you're going to adhere to history and how much realism you want to throw into the campaign. So one thing I always like to do is look sort of through the history books and get an idea of how the prices were and getting her from one place to another. That was not exactly an easy task. People kept in contact through long distances over telegraph lines, you know? Or the Pony Express.
Or the train.
The telegraph was the fastest way to do it.
That was the fastest way of doing it.
When it got up, obviously.
Yeah, but not all towns had access to
exactly.
it. The Pony Express would make a good, short, little game. Your characters could get involved in that. Make a quick buck. And also, because you have bandits shooting at you. Native Americans shooting at you. Yeah. You know, all sorts of people shooting at you. Farmers, anybody. So
everybody took pot shots at the Pony Express, man.
Take pot shots at him. You know, it's just, hey, look at that guy.
Yeah, I used the time machine yesterday to go back and take pot. What?
I was kidding.
Oh, so was I.
Uh-huh.
I have to go. Bye. Western sort of speak to everyone. Definitely, everyone will immediately think of, you know, Clint Eastwood, John Wayne,
the Duke.
Style of a game. How would you go about emulating that in a game? You know,
do you want, because you can also play the game from, you could play a Western from the Native American side, from the foreigner side. You know, people coming into the United States,
the Irish who are coming into America.
Quigley Down Under is a good point. You could even play a Western not in the American West.
Exactly.
That
can be hard for some of us because. When we think of Western, we think of
the American
United
West.
States, American West.
Yeah.
You could play a Civil War one.
Yeah. There was a great TV series on TNT, The Lazarus Man, which was pretty good, and it was set just after the Civil War. It was a very interesting show with that was a guy who was in Spencer for Hire. I can't remember his name now. But it was... I can't remember the specifics. I think he was a Secret Service agent that got shot and was buried, and he dug his way out of his own grave.
It was interesting.
It was a good show.
And if you throw in the Native Americans, you can go with a mystical side.
Yeah.
Lot easier because...
Native Americans were very spiritual.
Yeah, it's
a, not
it's
the way
it'd
that,
be nice.
You know,
I mean, it'd
spirit.
Be nice. I think in some ways you want to be somewhat... culturally sensitive if you're going
to
do that.
Yeah, you definitely
you don't want to
research the culture.
You don't want to just sit there and say, it's a bunch of Indians, and I don't mean to, I don't do this to say to offend anybody, but it's a bunch of Indians versus cowboys.
Yeah.
You could do that, I guess, maybe if you're playing with like a younger group.
I love
group,
it when the Indians
but
beat the cowboys.
It goes back to how much realism you want to
put
in the game.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I said, though, most people, when they think of Western, they're going to think of Clint Eastwood, John Wayne movies, you know, and if that's what they're thinking of, that's what you really want to start looking
true.
At to play.
I just personally would like to have a little bit more in-depth.
I think nowadays people have a bit more knowledge of the, you know, Native Americans and, you know, what really was going on, et cetera, and you can actually play on that.
They always stole their land, murdered their women and children. Oh, we were great.
There's a lot you can do in a Western setting. I mean, there's things you can mesh into it. You could have... Deadlands is a horror, Weird West, you know, horror gaming. You could have science fiction enter into it. You could have weird mysticism run into it. You can even have play it more like a fantasy game. One interesting thing is in most fantasy games, and most towns pop up around rivers. When the West came about, they had the railroads, and towns would pop up along the railroad. And that's a big deal, you know. I mean, you had
that kept towns alive.
There were actually railroads that took shots at each other to try to get the rails done before other companies came in.
Yeah, they actually had sabotaged each other's track lane.
Especially in places like Denver and Dodge City and stuff like that.
Everyone Abilene.
Automatically will Abilene. Also think that the American West was a lawless time. It's definitely something, if you're running something in there, you need to... If you want to make the law rather useless. You know, that should be a story element. So like have the sheriff that, you know, doesn't do his job. That's a big deal. But if you also have players who come in and go, well, I'm going to rob the bank and then go to the local bar and do whatever.
And if you don't think you're going to get shot, then you're foolish.
Yeah. I mean...
You just rob that town's money. The people who live in that town.
Why, exactly. Posses, you know?
You go to the next town and get a drink.
Right.
Until you find out that town actually get out of their jurisdiction. Money at that bank, too. But yeah, the whole idea that the Wild West was lawless is not truly accurate. Because the way it worked was... The Wild West gave rise
to lawmen like Bat Masterson.
And you also forget about the cities. There was actually a...
Yeah, you immediately think, you know, frontier towns, but there's also, you know, like back east and places San Francisco,
Kansas
big cities
City.
That were...
What was that?
Kansas City was huge.
It was actually big then, too. It would be during, like, the Civil War, Wild West time. There was a movie about the riots. I believe it was in New York. It had... DiCaprio.
Gangs of New York.
But the reason I bring that up is because that was happening at that time. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to do it, you could do an inner city, almost Wild West type feel.
Yeah.
It's not dusty. There's no such thing. You know, you're not going to see, you're not going to have a lot of gunslinging. But you could still do it.
But there's still a lot you could do in that era, that time period, in that the Western
idea. I think we're more focused. We're trying to focus more on what, you know.
There's even an interesting thing is if you go and watch a film, sort of like watch a film like Yojimbo or Sanjuro, do an Eastern instead of a Western. It's still the basic same concept, except you're in Japan and you're running around with a sword instead of a six shooter. I challenge anyone, watch Yojimbo. I mean, Yojimbo was remade into Fistful of Dollars and eventually remade into The Last Man Standing. But Yojimbo is you watch that and it's a Western. You watch The Seven Samurai, it's a Western, but it's an Eastern, you know.
Eastern with Eastern elements.
Exactly, and you got to tell yourself those movies were made before we had these big Westerns show
it's
up.
It's really how you think about it. You know, you have the showdown, you have the... You know,
good versus
robbery,
evil.
You have the, you know, all that.
Anti-heroes coming up, and you know, I think the thing is the type of game I like to run if it's a Western is you have. I don't mind the shades of gray, but as long as you have characters or players that are willing to work with you and willing to have characters that are still good guys. Rather than, well, I'm a bad guy, I'm going to go in and do this bad stuff. You know, well, no, you're a good guy. But don't expect you to, you know, be able to walk over all these NPCs and everything. I mean, there is...
Well, you're...
Have a conscience, you know?
You're a good guy in the sense of, okay, I'm a good guy. I'm from the North.
Mm-hmm.
I supported the Union during the war. And in Deadlands, the war is still officially going on. I mean, it is. And so, I'm going to go rob this Southern bank.
Is that wrong? In some ways it is wrong.
Right.
In other ways it's not, because
if you're a devout person of the North, then thinking robbing that bank might make you think that I'm supporting the Union by restricting the Confederacy's money flow.
Right.
That, whether it really does or not is something that character might actually start to think about. Because when you actually get into the semantics of it, that may be a Confederate bank, but the thing is the money in that bank might just be that local townspeople's money.
But then you can go into things like hitting a treasury, you know, that would affect...
Hitting robbing fort, trains.
Robbing trains.
Payrolls.
I like the idea of
And really, for me, as long as like nobody gets hurt, as long as nobody really gets hurt, like when I, like with my character now and yours, John Hunter,
mm-hmm.
He's a gunslinger, but you know how I play him. He's not out to kill anybody. If he can get away from a gunfight by shooting your gun out of your hand, or maybe, you know, shooting your guns off of your belt, he's done. He doesn't have to prove himself by killing you, because there's no point.
Right.
It just... Shooting somebody and killing them is just a waste.
Right.
He just wants to stop the guy from trying to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I'm much better than you. That's all.
See, Connor doesn't worry about killing people. The only way he will kill someone is in self-defense, though.
Well, Connor's a soldier too.
My guy is a trained professional killer.
My guy is not. My guy is a gunslinger,
He's gunfighter.
Gunfighter show off.
He's a stuffed shirt, is what he is.
Oh, Connor's good at what he does, though.
Soldier and a southern gentleman that plays cards.
Yes, I play cards.
Hunter is not. Yeah. Hunter's good at what he does.
Hunter plays poker.
Yeah.
I love poker and blackjack. If anybody would care to play a game.
If you draw on him, he'll draw faster.
What was it that Doc Holliday said? Poker is an honest trade. Not gambling, poker. Poker's an honest trade.
Poker's an honest trade.
Exactly.
It's a gentleman's game, you know?
And we are focusing on Deadlands, but that's fine, too. That's pretty much all we know.
Deadlands is one of the... It's just a great system.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, Deadlands uses playing cards just well. I mean, it gives you a great feel of being in a Western.
Well, and the original Deadlands uses
the original one. The new Reloaded sucks.
I personally wouldn't mind...
Well, in our opinions, at least.
If I'm running a open D&D/Dice 20 game, and somebody wanted to play a gunslinger, I would use the normal dice, you know, 20 rules. And that's fine.
I mean,
fine.
You could even look at... I haven't read them, but the gunslinger in the Dark Tower.
Yeah, that's more... I would say that's more fantasy, but that is very Western-ish. Yeah.
The first book was very strange.
But I think for running a full Western, though, you're right. Deadlands is just a great system for it.
You could use it and not even use the mystical elements in it. It would still work.
Oh, yeah, it would work fine. You could play the dirt, you know, just...
But there's a reason why Deadlands gives you stats for these historical figures, like Wyatt Earp, Bat Masterson, Billy the Kid, and Pat Garrett. It's because you're running around the Old West, I mean, and you make a character, you want to see if he can outdraw Billy the Kid. You know, I mean, come on, who doesn't?
And if you do, fine.
Yeah, so what? Go for it.
If you're playing a normal Deadlands game, he might come back as a hero, or he might already be a hero. If you're not, somebody else picks up the name Billy the Kid. It happened all the time.
Yeah.
It's some great stuff. I mean, the Westerns are is one thing you can say is definitely an American American tradition. It's something that is only from America.
And it is nice making, in a medieval setting or some fantasy settings, making a name for yourself can be hard. You can make a name for yourself in certain towns, but there isn't a lot of...
communication.
Yeah. In a Western, like you said, with the telegram. Telegram and everything. And also the dime novels?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're called dime novels. That spreads your fame.
Yeah.
So your character, who is a gunslinger and has done all these amazing things, is going to attract the attention of a writer. He writes your little novel, and suddenly you're well known. Your character is
Watch Unforgiven about
that.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's a great example.
And now your character's just like Billy the Kid or
Bat Masterson.
I think anything.
The West definitely brings about the idea of having a reputation more than any other game system.
Exactly.
Is, you know, you go into town and someone goes, well, what's your name? And you give it, and if they know who you are, you know, what's their reaction going to be? Because word's going to travel. And we've all been through the exercise, you know, of seeing, you know, you're at one end of the line, the other end of the line, someone tells a story, and then by the time it gets to you, it's all messed up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, by the time it gets to you, you know, by the time it gets around... You know, you killed 12 men single-handedly with 6 shots, you know?
And all you did was shoot someone in the foot to get them to leave
exactly.
you alone.
Deadlands
exactly.
does that well because you don't have, at least in D&D, you have things like experience points. So that's really part of the thing that makes you feel better.
Deadlands uses fate chips.
Deadlands, you're not leveling up as fast, but you still... There is some movement forward, but also...
Well, with Deadlands, there's not levels.
Yeah, exactly. You
can either... The experience points you get is based on the fate chips you get. And the fate chips you can either cash in while you're gaming, mm-hmm. while you're in the game, to get yourself bonuses and to help get yourself out of a scrape. Or if you save them, you can cash them in for experience points.
But what I'm trying to say is the renown and knowing your name is
right.
part of that.
And that's part of the system in Deadlands.
Exactly.
There is a renown system.
And that's nice. That's nice. You could do that in another game. It's just you have experience points.
Right.
You collect gold. I mean, that's what you do in a Western or in Deadlands. I don't. You know, the point isn't really to. Yeah, it's nice to be rich, but that's not the point.
But you know, Is there anything you guys think you need to add to Westerns?
Unfortunately, due to the fact that my knowledge of Westerns is woefully small, there's nothing else I can think to add.
You need plenty of bullets.
You need
plenty of guns. You need to make sure that you keep your gun clean and in good repair. You need to know a doctor and or a priest.
Or both.
Or and both. Alcohol is a good thing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes.
Games I would recommend you check out are obviously Deadlands, Boot Hill.
Sidewinder Recoil.
Sidewinder Recoil is supposed to be really good.
Heard nothing but good stuff about that one.
Non-actually RPG stuff is there's a fun little card game called Bang, which is kind of cool. There's any number of stuff you guys can look at.
Check out the History Channel's new Civil War game. That might give you a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And on all the different.
And I'll tell you one way. I think a Western game lends itself really well to using props, if possible.
Oh, yeah.
And one thing I do for Deadlands to keep track of ammunition is I bought shot glasses for all the characters. And I went up to a firing range and bought some empty shell casings. And I used those to keep track of how many bolts are in your gun. Whichever's in your shot glass, that's how many shots you got left. And that helps keep track of things. And it also gets that feel of, you know, the Old West back in there, too.
And also, one survival tip. Not every gunfight should be you standing in the middle of the street, because you're not that good.
It also depends on, on how realistic you want to go for. If you want to go for the mythological West.
That's true.
You know, then yeah, you're going to stand in the middle of the
street. Ours is more realistic we've been playing in. So you should really,
in Deadlands,
you hide behind stuff and use cover.
Yeah.
And not, don't use civilians as cover, please.
No, it doesn't work well. Yeah. I remember the
bullets go through people.
The gunfight at that pit fight. You know?
That wasn't because I was using civilians.
No,
that was because of my curse.
Yeah.
Your horrid fate.
Yeah.
People were dying all around us.
Not just people, women and children.
Yeah.
Random pregnant woman walked by.
Gets a bullet through the head.
No, she's in one of the most horrible places ever, and she just walks by and blows up.
And just look at you like,
you took the hindrance, buddy.
That's cool. If I miss, it happens.
But definitely check out those games. We'll put links to them in our notes. And we will be back after this.
Igor, would you give me a hand with the bags?
Certainly. You take the blonde and I'll take the one in the tavern.
Hi there, this is Richard Denning. I present It's Time for Games. It's Time for Games is a podcast based in the UK that looks at role-playing games, war games and board games. I do reviews and discuss forthcoming events and conventions. If you'd like to know more, check out www.itstimeforgames.com, and that's a number 4 in the middle, and I'll see you there.
Son of a bitch must pay.
Well, we're back with another installment of the three-parter. And,
three-parter.
Woo! We're here with, we're going along the Western feel. I'm going to give out a review of the old PC game Outlaws from LucasArts. Nathan is going to give us a nice little rant. And Jeremy's going to give us a little character, because Lord knows we need it.
The review.
Many years ago, I remember when that game came
1996.
Out. I believe it was about 1996. LucasArts put out a first-person shooter video game called Outlaws. Inspired by them old spaghetti westerns, and Outlaws, you're playing an ex-US Marshal, I believe, mm-hmm. Whose family gets kidnapped.
And murdered. Murdered.
And you come out of retirement, dust off your old tin badge.
And your six shooters.
Get out your six shooters and you go for some revenge. Great game. Of course, if people aren't into first-person shooters, they might not enjoy it. And graphics-wise, of course, game's 10 years old now. It's graphics-wise aren't going to be great.
The environments are somewhat 3D, but the characters are 2D sprites in the environment.
Right.
Remember how when Doom came out, it was
incredible. It's based on the Forces engine. So.
Yes. But the characters are cartoon. They're actually cartoon sprites, so they look really cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a violent game, but it's not bloody, if I remember correctly. It's a great game. There's tons of stuff. You're running around in old West towns. You're running around in mine shafts. It's got a great feel to it. It's a long game. It's a good game. It's still available, I believe. You can still pick it up for bargain bins.
You can actually pick it up from LucasArts for $10 off their website.
Yeah, it's a great game. I would highly recommend it to people. It's some great inspiration for your role-playing games. The new stuff out, there's Gun, which came out last year.
I was actually going to talk about that here in a second.
Gun is fun, but short.
Gun is horribly graphic.
Yeah, it's
Gun
a bit
is
more
not for the faint of heart. No. Gun is not for kids.
Do you guys
period.
Remember the Nintendo with the Duck Hunt?
Mm-hmm.
And then if they also had the
Wild West Shootout.
Wild West Shootout. I love that game. Yep. People jumping up, pulling the gun out. Yeah.
Yeah, but there are lots of video games out there you can look at for inspiration. I would highly recommend Outlaws from LucasArts. I'll give you a link. I'll put a link to them in the show notes.
What's that one you play a vampire in the Old West? There's a video game where you play a vampire in the Old West.
A recent one?
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
It was on PlayStation 2, I believe.
Yeah, I can't remember it. It didn't look very good to me. But
oh, I know what you're talking about. I can't remember the name of it, but
Outlaws by LucasArts. Great game. I highly recommend. It's well worth $10. It'll definitely get you in the mood for some a Wild West RPG.
There's another really good Western out there if you guys have an Xbox. Red Dead Revolver.
Yes. Hard
that is know. That is an incredibly good Western game. Very hard, though. But the way they do the physics for the guns and the way the shooting and stuff is done is actually, for the most part, when you're firing in real time, is physically accurate.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to take into account wind and drop and stuff and long-range shots, otherwise you're going to miss the targets. Which really sucks when you're trying to pull out that sniper rifle to take out that guy and you miss him by 3 feet.
Yep.
But it's realistic in that way. But Red Dead Revolver is real fun. And there's another one called like Ace Six Shooter or Six Shooter Ace. I've never played it. It has a lot to do with poker cards and stuff.
We'll try to put links to these in our show notes, but it's definitely stuff you guys should all check out to get in the spirit for a Western.
Yes.
The Rant.
I will do that one. We're going to do the rant next, because I really want to rant about this, especially considering after the run-in I had with it this last week and weekend. To give you a bit of a backstory, had an issue last night. We went to the Dave & Buster's hearing here in wonderful Kansas City, and I was playing a game with my cup of tickets right in front of me on the machine. I looked down at the machine to put my token in, looked back up, someone had stolen my cup. I went to report this, and basically what I was told was, not our problem, you need to watch your stuff more closely. This being said by the people who have, like, 8 security guards running around who are supposed to be doing that as well. Who weren't, as a matter of fact. All the ones I saw were watching pretty women play stupid games. But, enough about that. So I sent in a complaint about that today. So we'll find out what I hear back from that. Because they wouldn't even say they were sorry for the fact that my stuff had been stolen, which is all I really wanted. You know, it was like $20 in tickets in there. There was almost 800 tickets, which, if any of you have ever been to Dave & Buster's, knows that's really hard to come by. So, sent an email about that. But I got an email back from BioWare, Atari, about my Neverwinter Nights 2 complaints, which I thought was very funny, because I complained to them about the fact that I couldn't even get past the middle of Act 2 because of that bug. And they apologized for it. But instead of actually offering me solutions on how to fix the issue, they offered me the merchant, a little add-on, and a couple of rings for inside the game, which would do me absolutely no good considering the game locks up completely at that point. Which brings me to my rant. Crappy customer service. What in the hell is going on here? Everywhere. It's not even just centrally located at games. It's an endemic. Anywhere you go, you get the worst customer service I've ever had in my life. It's just gotten progressively worse since about 1998. When we call Dell now, we have gold-level technical service, which means we are to be helped immediately. It takes them a week to get back to us. That is unacceptable. When we're calling technical service support for anything on any product, usually it's an emergency. And for them to take a week to get back to us is ridiculous. On top of that, you got the whole issue of companies laying when they have a problem, they try to push the blame off on something else. Well, it can't be our product. It's got to be this, and that's your problem. You know, no one is willing to accept blame anymore. It's gotten to this point where everyone thinks that, you know, if they can just get other people to believe that it's not their fault, then they can get away with making hundreds of thousands of dollars on something that is obviously a problem and they're not willing to take responsibility for. Look at Sony. Sony denied that the batteries were the problem for how many months before they finally did, oh, well, it's our batteries. We'll go ahead and do a recall. It was like a month and a half. There was like 6 months of reports before that of batteries being defective. And the interesting thing was that they were always being traced back to the same manufacturer, although they vehemently denied it. We're talking about a Japanese company. Japanese companies are usually very quick to accept responsibility for issues and rectify it. And it took them almost 8 months to fix it. I mean, it's ridiculous. Customer service is supposed to be about supporting that customer with their issue, not ignoring it completely, which is what it's gotten to. My statement is this. If customer service is going to be going this way, then I think that we should be looking at the way of building our own products, because if the companies won't support their products, we can make something just as good. This is just stupid to buy something. I spent $55 on Neverwinter Nights 2, and what's the support I get? Oh, here's some free items that won't actually do anything to assist you. That's bull.
Smurf.
And I'm sorry, I know that'll be blanked out, but you guys can guess what I'm saying, because it's ridiculous. There is no right, no company has the right to completely ignore its user base unless they expect to not have any more customers ever again. I, for one, I'm never going back to Dave & Buster's until I get an apology. Once I get an apology, that's fine. That's all I want. I know they can't replace the tickets, but they won't even apologize. So they don't deserve my customer service. They don't deserve me as a customer. And as a matter of fact, I will make sure everybody I know doesn't go there either, because they don't deserve them as customers, because if they're not going to take care of their customers, they have no right to have them. By the way, there's a new patch out for Neverwinter Nights 2. I believe it's the critical rebuild. For most of you, it'll fix the problems. I installed it, and it caused nothing but more problems. So be careful. If the game's not having any problems at all, don't install it. Enough said.
We've got character.
Okay, this time in We've Got Character. Thinking of Western NPCs and or PCs. And I just started playing the Westerns, so I don't have as many as I would like yet. But I can think of a couple. One of them I'd like to bring up is a PC, which could be used as an NPC quite easily. Quincy Adams. And Quincy was a detective, basically. He worked for the Pinkertons. And he is very, very loyal to the Pinkertons. Even so much that he would gladly betray his friends and or traveling companions if it would be in the good of the Pinkertons and their goals. Quincy was also a scientist. He was able to use the power of steam to create various items. And his favorite item being a steam-powered wagon. It was armored, and he basically drove it around. He put ghost rock in it, coal as needed, and he would drive this thing around. He also, his Pinkerton friend had a mechanical arm, which Quincy thought was quite interesting and was going to do all sorts of alterations to it. Quincy could actually, given enough time and enough materials, build anything. Gatling guns, mechanical arms, steam-powered giant walking spiders.
The ghost rock cannon.
Ghost rock cannons, ghost rock gatling guns, ghost rock anything, basically. But unfortunately, Quincy went a little nuts, and he then was blown apart by
dynamite. In the river maze.
In the river maze, which is a certain
city of
deadly
Angeles.
Location in
California.
In Deadlands. Now, the reason I bring up Quincy is because Quincy would make a great NPC to throw in a party. He could help them. He could be basically like Q from James Bond. He can help the group by building things, but you have to remember, he's a Pinkerton. And he is only loyal to the Pinkertons. So at any point, the party does something that is not in the best interest of the Pinkertons, he will turn them in. He will betray them. So I have a lot of fun with that.
We know we did.
Yeah. I had a lot of fun with him until he went nuts. So.
Crawling your way out of your own grave will do that to you, though.
That's true. That's true.
What's really sad is
having
his face.
Having his traveling companion come back from the dead also had something.
Yep, I think that's what really got him.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
There's a game going on, and you're invited. Join Don, Derek, and Jeremiah when they go out of character every week. Or sneak a peek into the lives of your favorite game designers on Inside Track. Hear PodGamer cast judgment. The best games and the worst games are now subject to the King's Court. Get your gaming fix at PulpGamer.com. That's P-U-L-P Gamer.com. Because sometimes you only have yourself to play with.
This is an emergency communique. It is not to be discussed with fellow officers unless deemed absolutely necessary. There will be no computer record of said transmission.
We're back. With this section, we would usually have the Q&A.
Random encounters.
Unfortunately, we still don't have a lot of anything. Well,
I'll use the time machine to get some random encounters in here if some pop up by now.
So we're really asking you guys for your support. Send us any email questions or any voicemails. We have an audio. No place for you to send us audios. We have a voicemail number that you can send us voicemails at, as well as
email.
You can send us emails at thousandmonkeysproductions@gmail.com.
If you happen to be running around World of Warcraft, and you'd like to say hi to some of us who actually play. I actually...
Losers.
Well, yes.
Yes, we're goobers.
But that's okay. I have a character running around named Solyndra.
I refuse to fall into shadow!
Who is a warlock and is also an enchanter. So, you know, feel free to say hi if you also play World of Warcraft. Maybe
be sure that you tell them that we're on the Alderman server.
We're on the Alderman server, that's correct. We're parts of various guilds and such.
Yes, I'm part of Deadly Nightshade, which is currently listed as the second largest guild on the server. If you want to drop by and say hello, just send a hi or hello to Sharian. The character's name is Sharien. Just let us know where you heard from us about and tell us hi. We'll be sure to say hello and be friendly. And maybe, who knows, if you're looking for a guild, Deadly Nightshade's looking for more people always. And
we won't talk about the guild I'm trying to start quite yet.
Oh, okay.
But
we're looking for signatures for another guild.
Feel free to say hi. It's my main character I run around is Solyndra, S-E-L-E-N-D-R-A. Please send a whisper. Also, if you need anything enchanting, I'm trying to get my enchanting up.
Bring the mats. He'll do it for free.
Bring the mats. Do it for free.
I'm also working on blacksmithing, so if there's any items you want, bring the mats. We'll do it for free.
Exactly. Also, if you know where we can get large glimmering shards...
please, I was waiting for that.
Please, please, please. We need those, and they're so expensive right now.
3 gold apiece is a little excessive. And this one guy has all of them.
He must have. Anyway. Soon, maybe we can get Ethan to join the crack.
Bet chance.
I'm game. I bought donuts Friday for work. About 3 dozen.
Still working on the planner traveling device.
Yes, we've had no feedback on it yet, though. So.
That's fine.
It's as of episode 4.
We haven't had a lot of episodes, though, so.
No. Episode 5 should be going up soon.
We only have a backlog of, what, 6 episodes? 6 more episodes than what we put up so far by the time we're done with this cast?
We are recording episode 9 right now.
And we'll be recording episode 10 shortly after this.
Yes.
So, yeah.
But not a whole heck of a lot going on. We are now listed on the Podcast Pickle. I'm working on getting us listed on GBNcom.com, the Gaming Broadcast Network. I contacted Paul of Cthulhu about that, and he's getting us set up with that.
How's Paul doing, by the way?
Paul's doing fine. He wished us all a happy Christmas.
No blasted sanity loss?
No blasted sanity loss yet. Although... by the time this cast gets out, they might actually have their game cast up for Horror on the Orient Express.
Ooh.
Which is going to be very cool. Very cool. And They've been very busy over at Yog Sothoth, Yog Radio. So.
Yeah. Who are you talking?
But the kind words keep pouring in. The Harping Monkey played our promo, as did the Dragon's Landing. So.
You can visit us on the web at CanadianCrusaders.FistfulOfComics.com. You can visit our website there, leave us an audio. You can call our voicemail line at 206-984-4122. Leave a message on the Frapper map. You can drop us an email at ThousandMonkeysProductions@gmail.com. And you could also just visit the forums on Fistful of Comics. We have our own little section there.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.
Expect no mercy if you head out west.
Gamers Haven is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Sharealike 2.5 license, and is hosted by the fine folks at www.fistfulofcomics.com and is a Thousand Monkeys production.
Now there's just one rule, and it's go eye for an eye. And if you swallow the drone, you'll be fast to die.
Michael's got these cool lightning bolts.
You guys need to make a Gamers Haven guild and put our Gamers Haven logo on it.
Actually, that would be a good idea.
That would be a good idea.
I would do that.
Yeah. We should push for that instead of the other one.
And every time you're on there, just start going, hey, go listen to our podcast.
Yeah, we have a podcast yet.
Hey, if I could afford to give it to you and I knew you'd actually play it, I'd buy you a 6-month copy of World of Warcraft.
Yep, yep, yep.
I love inflicting pain on others. No. Yeah.
The new guild, the Sunshine Gang. I've got two signatures, my own and Robin's.
Yours, Stinky.
The Hellhound is Stinky. I believe he needs
a bath.
Maybe tossed into one of the magma pits.
Yeah. With the dogs.
Hellhound just went off.
Shush. Diego, shut the hell up or I'll beat you with a stick.
I was just going to club him with a stick.
I was just going to whip the bowls around his legs, and then while he couldn't move, we're going to hog tie him and set him in front of the computer, duct tape his eyes open, and then make him sit there in front of it for 8 hours. The infection would slowly seep in, and he'd be addicted by then.
We could put it directly into his bloodstream.
You guys are sadists.
Yeah, that's deadly.
You guys are sadists, aren't you?
Yes. Mm-hmm. You still have some of those left?
Yeah, I've been savoring them.
They're good, aren't they?
They're tasty.
I was so mad after we bought you those, because then we tried the double peanut butter whippies, and it was like, I should have got these for Ethan. Because even I was going, to me, like John Wayne, first you have to do is you have to damage your knee so you can no longer play college-level football, then go into movies, which would give you that nice swagger that he had.
Yeah, that'll work.
And then after that, then you'd have to develop the voice. Well, I'm just going to have to deal with you now, aren't I? Missing
well, it really depends.
Which I can't do, but... You know.
We really do need to do a Jessica Alba review.
Yeah. 1,000 stars right there. Anyway.
You guys can review Jessica Alba. I'll just sit back and laugh.
One more reason why Deadline is over. Back, Hellhound, back!
Use the crushing fist of spite. It's cool.
I don't have that.
I do.
Then you can use it.
Okay. Soon.
He says fat chance now.
Put the ball gag down.
I did not want to see that. Ah.
Dude, it's my ex-girlfriend.
With less wordy things.
It's a good thing you're just going to alternate dimensions then. Diego.
It might rain donuts outside, who knows.
Ooh, oh, donuts. Sweet, I'm going to get a basket.
Yeah.
Here, help me with this bed sheet.
Or having your body burst into flames right there.
Such is
the
risk of playing cards with demons. But I still think the bill should be Godzilla Cthulhu for 2008. Cthulhu can be the vice president. Yeah. I'm fine with that. He can handle the Senate.
<You're rude. laughs>
They're all cultists anyway.
Maybe we should come up with a commercial from the Book of All Tarkin.
That's not true. I don't know that many chicks. What are you saying? I'm a player? Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Yeah, man. Whatever.
No one else wants to sign up for it.
Do you remember the superhero group I was trying to start? What was it called? It was either the Rain...
The Lollipop.
The Lollipop. Yeah, it was like the Lollipop Gang or something. Yeah, it was really, really pink.
Yep.
Our symbol was a pink heart.
I was so glad I didn't join that guild.
The Sunshine Gang isn't going to be
the League of the League of the Lollipop Gang.
Yeah, it was
pink hearts.
Horrible.
Yay!
Our characters all ran around in pink outfits. Yeah, I was working on a speedster.
Then I was Candy Train.
Yeah, Candy Train.
That's about as bad as Speedo Man.
I was a tanker.
And Thong Girl.
I was a tanker, and steam would come out of him all the time, and he was pink
awesome.
And green.
Well, if I could,
and his battle call was time to ride the Candy Train.
It was awesome. Can you really beat a hellhound with a stick?
Yeah,
a burst of fire. You only got a few seconds. Do not start playing a banjo. I swear to God, I will kill you.